Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newdecker. Today I am joined by someone who, he's a business coach. He was actually formerly in the fitness industry and he turned more to personal development. He has 5 different businesses, probably more by this stage since I checked. He's written 5 different books, so he's an author as well. He's got an incredible presence on social media, and the stuff that he puts out is really, really inspiring to make your days more productive, and he's a pretty cool person. So, Craig Ballantyne, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I don't know if anybody's ever introduced me as a pretty cool person in the intro to a podcast before, so I'm going to be very grateful for that one.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Awesome. So, how are you today? How's the weather where you are?
Oh, good enough. Good enough. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's just fantastic. You know, you and I were talking before about, you know, how the day was going, and I'm the guy who focuses on helping people have amazing days, and it all starts with owning your morning, and so far, so good.
Good. So it probably wouldn't be ideal if you said, you know what, Kate, I've had a terrible day so far. I don't feel that great. I'm not in the mood.
No, avoid that at all possible costs, you know, and really, even if I am having like a kind of a bad day, I will I'll find the good in it. Like I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely. Try your best to see the positive in all situations. So, I mean, some of the listeners may not know what your background is. Would you like to give like a little bit of a roundup on your background and how maybe your fitness background and personal development background as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off writing for Men's Health Magazine, which is the biggest fitness publication in the world. And then that allowed me, it gave me what I call critical credibility, which is huge when you're starting a business in the fitness industry or any industry. It allowed me to start selling my own fitness programs online. And I did this all the way back in 2001. I remember the very first sale that I made. So 2001, I did that then for the next 12 years. But at the same time, I wanted to do more than just fitness. I wanted to coach people on building their businesses. So I started helping other fitness entrepreneurs grow their businesses in 2007. So I've been doing that for a long time. But then along the way, I realized, Kate, that so many people, man, they kind of knew what to do, but they didn't know how to get it all done. And then I kind of, you know, that was something that I always wanted to do, was get a lot done every day, be a very productive person. So I started coaching people on that, ended up realizing that, my goodness, I need to put this in a book for the masses. And so I did that with my Perfect Day Formula book, really, really have helped a lot of people with that. And then I built an entire coaching business out of that, where it's a combination of productivity, time management, and business growth and work-life balance all at the same time. So when people leave the program with me, they have everything dialed in for them to be successful personally and professionally. And I just absolutely love helping high performers with that. So that's where I started and that's where I am today.
Awesome. That kind of gives a good roundup of how you got from A to B. So like A being more in the fitness industry and then B being more into personal development. Would you say that it makes you feel maybe more fulfilled working with people in a personal development sense?
I definitely feel that way, and I've always wanted to be out of the fitness space, so it was nice, you know, it was a hobby that I turned into a business, and it was really cool, but at the end of the day, there's so much more to helping a person have a great life than just, you know, getting back in shape or anything. So the good thing is that there's so much crossover in getting healthy or growing a business or being more productive or simply, you know, making more time for your family. So all of these things overlap, they mesh. The principles that, you know, help somebody lose 30 pounds are the same principles that help somebody write a book. And I was able to coach people through all these areas. And that's really been one of the gifts and strengths that I have, is that I've helped so many people in so many areas overcome so many things that I can kind of find a solution for everybody pretty quick. And it's also kind of, I'm gifted with that ability as well. So very, very fortunate. And like you said, you meet a lot of people in the fitness world, but the real, real interesting people are those high performers, those business owners who want to go out and change the world or want to, you know, take a new product to the world. And I'm fortunate. I've worked with people that have had everything from a, you know, $100,000 business to a $1 billion business, and been able to just, you know, see that there's a lot of common problems among every one of those phases. Whether you're making that, you know, just getting started and you're only making that 100K, or if you're making literally tens of millions of dollars every year, man, there's so much crossover. It's amazing that we all struggle with the same sort of things. And I'm just fortunate to be able to help really interesting people do really cool things.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those integral things that people, maybe when they initially start coaching people in fitness, they don't realize how much they're going to have to help people with their mindset to get from A to B, to get to their goal. And it becomes one of those things that naturally it starts happening. And I think over the last few years, personal development has almost become more cool. Like, I think before that, it was kind of like this thing that people thought wasn't cool, like reading self-help books and that kind of thing. But the fortunate thing is now it's become into the fitness industry and people realize how important it is, like you say. So, I mean, like, listeners might not know about your kind of like your background, your past, in the fact that you've had quite a transformative past from the fitness part to the personal development part. And they might not know that you kind of had issues with anxiety, for example. So would you say the issues that you had with anxiety help you help other people with their personal development and their anxiety issues, for example?
Absolutely. I'm actually writing my next book on it. It's called Unstoppable, How to Get Through Hell, Overcome Anxiety, and Dominate Business and Life. And it doesn't matter if you have literal anxiety like I did or if you just feel stressed out. The principles in the book are going to help you become more effective, get more clear-headed, focus on what matters, say no to what doesn't, stop being overwhelmed. And that is a huge key and a huge foundation. And I realized that the hard way. I had to go through a lot of struggles. I had to go through a lot of hard times in order to learn those lessons. But once I did learn those lessons, you know, now I've been put here to help a lot of other people avoid those same lessons that I learned the hard way. Now, the thing is, I get text messages, I get Facebook messages from people in the emergency room all the time who say, "Hey, Craig, I heard you talk about anxiety. I'm suffering it now. I need your help more than ever." And I can help those people, but I really, really, really want to help people avoid getting in that situation in the first place. So, yeah, I like to say that I was blessed with a lot of fatal flaws in order to then go on and be able to coach people around those things and get results faster than ever.
You touched on there a little bit about how you get messages from people who have and might have had issues being in the emergency room, maybe with panic attacks and that kind of thing. So, I mean, panic attacks are more common than people talk about because there's like a bit of a stigma about it. But I personally have had panic attacks in the past, and it's something that I had to work through with personal development. And I think it's actually quite common in the fitness industry with trainers who take on a lot of work and work a lot of hours, that you get up early in the morning and you train people super early. And I mean, what advice could you give to someone who is taking on like so many hours training people and working super, super hard?
Yeah, it's a really, really great point. And I mean, this is common among many industries, but like you said, in the fitness world, we're fit, we're young often, and we think, I can do everything. I can take on all these new clients. I can do all my billing. I can do all my marketing. I don't need any help with anything. I can do all my social media. And you put all of this stuff on your back and you suffer in silence and it crushes you.
Yeah.
It crushes you. And it was, you know, for me personally, I was also a hypocritical, living a bit of a hypocritical lifestyle. Like 6 days a week, I was perfect good boy. And then on the seventh day a week, I was, you know, going to bed at the time I usually got up at, you know, and drinking all night. And so it really caught up with me. And I don't want that to happen to other people, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do, and what I do with all my entrepreneur clients and every client that I have, is we start to identify, okay, what really matters in your life. And then in addition to that, we figure out, okay, what do you need to start saying no to? Mm-hmm. Because you need to focus. If you want to be super successful, you have to focus. You can't be training people in 19 different specialties. You can't be saying, oh, I'm a great trainer for the senior population and then young athletes and bodybuilders. I'll take on any client. No, you got to specialize. You got to focus. You got to have your niche market. You got to be able to say no to things that don't move you ahead. You need to be able to put boundaries in place on the number of hours that you're going to work. And then you need to start thinking like an empire builder about how you, if you want to grow your business, if you just want to have clients and, you know, train, you know, for the next decade, that's cool. But if you want to have multiple locations, if you want to have trainers working under you, you do have to get out of that I'm going to do everything mentality and start being an empire builder who grows a team around you. So that's a lot of the thinking that we help entrepreneurs do in the fitness space and in every space. And a lot of it comes back to what I mentioned before. First of all, you have to get the vision clear for your mind. You have to get all the overwhelming opportunities out of your head. You have to decide which ones you do, which ones you don't do. And when you have that clear vision for your life, it's very easy to say no. So those are the things that are really going to help people move ahead. Having a vision, understanding your values, and then aligning your actions and your goals. Because a lot of people say they want one thing in life, and then their actions take them in a different direction. And we see this all the time as trainers. You know, Mrs. Jones comes in, says she wants to lose 20 pounds, and then we ask her what she's eating, and it's totally misaligned with her goals. Now, that's going to cause a lot of stress inside of her. And it's the same with when we say, oh, I want to have, you know, 2 boot camps and I want to have 5 trainers working for me, but you do everything yourself and you're not willing to let somebody else train for you, then your actions are misaligned with your goals and it causes a lot of internal stress and anxiety. So it's all about getting that alignment around your vision and your values to start.
I think that's so important what you said as well about how people aren't reflecting what they want in their actions, exactly like you say. But at the same time, sometimes people don't know how to do the right actions to get to where they want to be. And that's obviously where a coach or a mentor would really help with something like that. So obviously, you probably know the importance of having a mentor or a coach. But for someone who, for example, wants to lose weight, but they want to get there, but they don't know how, because there's obviously a lot of miseducation in the industry. Would you say hiring a coach would be a good idea for someone to get to weight loss, get to muscle gain, whatever it may be?
Oh, everybody has to have a coach. I mean, I have, I think, 3 coaches right now. I have a sales coach, I have a leadership coach, I have an entrepreneurship coach. I've had speaking coaches in the past. I'm actually going to go and get my own trainer as a coach because I kind of got bored with my workouts. I mean, you need coaches in every area of your life. If you need to overcome anxiety, you might need a yoga coach, a meditation coach. I had coaches in Qigong, meditation, Tai Chi, and yoga when I was overcoming my anxiety. You need all coaches. You need mentors. You need people who have been there, done that, who share your morals and ethics, who are going to guide you along the way. If you think that you're going to figure everything out yourself, you are in for a very painful lesson because it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. You're going to be very frustrated. And you're only going to be more stressed and less successful than ever. So you absolutely positively have to get coaches and mentors. I went and did it all on my own for so long. It was one of the biggest mistakes in my career. I waited way too long to get a coach. I hired one in 2006. I could have afforded one 3 years earlier, but I was cheap. I was stubborn. I was a know-it-all. I didn't set my ego aside. And it cost me dearly.
Yeah, it's ego a lot of the time. And I think it takes time for people to let go of their ego and just like surrender and be like, you know what, I need help. I can't do all this all on my own. And I think that's in terms of delegation, in building a business, building like an empire, like you say, hiring people. And the art of delegation is something that needs to be acquired. And even so with coaching, for example. So, I mean, you talked a little bit there about how someone might hire a yoga coach or a wellness coach to help them with anxiety. What are some tips you could give to someone today to implement to help them with their anxiety, like literally today?
Well, first of all, learn how to breathe properly. Yeah. So most people, what they do is they breathe from their upper chest with short, shallow breaths. And when you do that, you go, now, maybe not that fast, of course, but what you're doing is you're blowing off carbon dioxide. And when you blow off a lot of carbon dioxide, your body responds by increasing adrenaline in the body. Adrenaline increases anxiety. So what you need to do, and same with caffeine, sometimes alcohol, but you know, stimulants increase your adrenaline as well. So you need to remove the stimulants and you need to learn how to breathe from your belly. So you open yourself up, open your chest up, and it's classic yoga breathing, meditation breathing. Big in through your nose, fill up your belly, nice slow inhale, hold that breath, and then exhale slowly. And if you do that for a few minutes, you're going to take your anxiety from here down to here. It's a massive transformation. It's one of the most immediate things that you can do for yourself. Another thing you need to do is talk it out. Okay, right now you have anxiety, you're stressed, you're anxious, you got all your wheels are spinning. If you don't talk it out, your wheels start spinning faster. When your wheels start spinning faster, you make the problem worse. What you need to do is go talk to a trusted friend, a therapist, a doctor. You need to talk to somebody. Call a hotline. I don't care who you talk to. Talk it out. You absolutely have to do that. You have to get it out of your head. It helps you solve the problems. You get feedback from other people. You'll just feel better. Okay. So those are 2 of the things. I mean, I could give you a lot more, but those are 2 things right now that are going to make a dramatic difference in your anxiety levels. And I know that the first one's not too bad. The second one might seem a little bit scary, but trust me, if you don't do that, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. speaking out, talking to people is going to be massively just, it takes a weight off your shoulders. And when you're holding something in, it's just more stressful for you. It's that internal stress of holding it in. So, I mean, we in our modern day and age of social media, you're seeing loads of people doing different things. There's something that's quite prevalent, I'd say, like with comparison. Would you say that that's probably quite a strong link to anxiety these days for people?
It makes total sense that it is, absolutely. Anxiety is increasing in teenagers at the highest rate ever. And most people have what I call a first world problem. The number one cause of friction in their life is they see somebody else doing something. They compare themselves. You know, the person down the road might have the brand new BMW and woe is me, I have last year's BMW. Or, you know, somebody else has a, you know, if you have a gym and you see somebody down the road is advertising on Facebook, you think, oh, they must be doing something right. I need to go advertise on Facebook. So you see the grass is greener on the other side and you start chasing shiny objects. So comparison syndrome, you see the grass is greener on the other side. You start chasing shiny objects. You start investing in Facebook ads, even though you don't know anything about Facebook ads. And the next thing you know, you're out $2,000 on Facebook ads, or you're buying a car you can't afford, or you're going out and drinking and partying because you have that fear of missing out. All of that stuff that causes internal stress and leads to the anxiety. So it is absolutely a game changer. I spend an entire 30 minutes on this in my coaching and in my workshops with high-performing entrepreneurs because I've been burned by this in the past. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in business ventures doing things that didn't align with my values and my vision only because I was comparing my business to another person's business, and it absolutely crushed me. So listen, you have to know your values and vision. It always goes back to that. You have to know what is true for you. And, you know, Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. And when you can do that, when you can live according to your true self and not be comparing yourself to others, you are going to be more successful and less stressful. Now, that is super easier said than done. Don't get me wrong. I still struggle with it very much. But, you know, reading stoicism, doing meditation, spending time in self-reflection and introspection will help you identify what really matters. And also volunteering, getting out of your own head, stop worrying about your own problems and start thinking about how you can solve other people's problems is another one of the fastest ways to get away from anxiety so that you are contributing to others and you have less, you know, it slows down the wheel spinning in your head. If you're at a soup kitchen serving people who are, you know, underprivileged, who are homeless, you're not going to have anxiety attacks in there because you're going to be, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just grateful that I don't have to be here myself, you know, on the other side of receiving this, and I get to go home and my first world problems are not so bad. So those are some of the things that will help people get through that comparison syndrome.
Yeah, and I think it's something to be said there, that feeling of gratitude. Like you can't feel any other emotion than gratitude when you're helping other people and when you're in that kind of position. I mean, do you advocate for like writing down gratitude in the morning? Is that something that's like a little bit below you now, or is that something that you do advise to people?
Totally below me. Oh, I can't believe those people who would do that. My goodness. Only the peasants do that, Kate. No, gratitude for me has definitely been something. Yeah. It was a life-changing moment for me. So I created a gratitude journal. We sell a gratitude journal. It's, you know, it's customized. Everybody's got their own way of doing it, but it's a big part of what I do. And I do it daily. And I highly recommend everybody does it daily. Sometimes I do my gratitude on Instagram. And what I realized when I started doing gratitude was it all came back to the easy life that I have. Because listen, I don't have the newest BMW, and that's okay. But I also don't have a manual labor job that I had when I was 13 years old and I was working for $3.10 an hour digging ditches. Now I get to make money on the internet and I really don't have a job. You know, I'm just grateful for what I do. And so I'm grateful that I don't have to dig ditches. Like that's what I'm really, truly grateful for. Yeah. I'm not grateful for my, you know, my fancy this, that, or the other thing. It's the simple things in life. And so that was a really good reframer for me when I started making gratitude a habit, was the things that really matter to me are people and experiences, not money or stuff. And I hope that, you know, all the folks listening to this will say, this is good. I need to get more into the gratitude because it will help again, discover what really matters to you. And then you can focus your efforts around that.
Yeah. Okay, good. And like, would you say that obviously having that upbringing, it has reshaped the way you see the world, in that you do see it from a perspective of more gratitude because you did have to work hard when you were younger, for example?
I would love to say yes. And I would love to say that, oh, you know, I should be grateful because I could be, you know, living in a shack in, you know, some third world country. But I just don't think that works.
Yeah.
I think that no matter how many times people preach that, oh, you should be grateful because, you know, you have a roof over your head and you're not starving, it doesn't work as much as you would think, because the problem with humans is that we are motivated, you know, we hate loss. And so you see this in the political climate today, that a lot of people had it very good for a long time and things have been taken away from them. And what they have now is still exponentially better than 95% of the world. But that doesn't matter because they only compare themselves to what they had. And that is how we are wired as humans. So yeah, I would love to say that, you know, thinking back and saying, oh, I'm grateful because I'm not poor or anything now, it only works a little bit. And so you really have to identify other things that you're grateful that you have right now, the people in your life, my dog I'm grateful for, the lessons I've learned, that sort of stuff. Your health, I think, is a good motivator, especially if you've ever gone through some health losses. But it's tough to make gratitude out of, you know, not having things. Even if you came from nothing, now you have something. And if you came from nothing, got to something, and then had something taken away from you, all you're going to think about is what was taken away from you. It's just humans are wired with a lot of bad things, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that you say. We just concentrate on what we've lost instead of the enjoyment of what we had when we did have it.
I wish it was the other way, but yeah. It's just not.
it's just really not, is it? Cool. So, I mean, your book, The Perfect Day Formula, is amazing. And what made you decide to write it, for example? What came to head where you were like, I have to get this information out there to people to make sure they structure their days better?
It was years and years of coaching high-performing entrepreneurs and, you know, coaching them on this stuff and then realizing, oh, my goodness, so many people need this. It's just not out there. You know, and I've always wanted to write a book. I'm a bookworm at heart, a bit of a nerd, all that sort of stuff. And so writing a book was definitely on my list. And I wrote a bunch in the fitness industry, but I don't get really jazzed up by too much in the fitness industry, to be honest with you. So therefore, it took a long time for me to figure out the outline of the book. It took me a long time to write the book. It took me a long time to edit the book. Fortunately, it turned out really fantastic, and I thank you for your compliments, but I didn't do it the right way. And, you know, I'm working on my next book now. I still didn't do it the right way, but being able to get that message out there was something that was in me, and I just had to share it with the world because the formula changed my life. The formula has changed so many of my coaching clients' lives, and the formula has now been able to help a lot of people out there as well.
So what would you say you could have done better if you'd have done it again then?
Yeah, it's a great question. So good book writing is about the outline. Mm-hmm. It is truly about the outline. I mean, you need to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours figuring out the right outline for the book. Because if you don't have the right outline for the book, first of all, you don't get all the right information out there. It's not done in a way where people are excited to read it. It doesn't flow very well. And really, it actually takes a professional to properly outline a book that is going to have a massive impact. So that's why I went and got professional help for this new book, so that I got everything in the right order that made a big impact. Because I actually took an outline to my professional outliner, and he totally changed it. And when he changed it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is 10 times better than what I had originally planned. So that's what I did wrong initially. And then I just wrote way too much stuff. And when I did hire an editor, I sent them 300 pages and they sent me back 115 pages. So I had elsewhere, but it was not the best use of my time. I put way more work into it than I needed to because I didn't know what I was doing.
I see. Okay, I understand. So, I mean, obviously, when is your book coming out, your next book coming out?
It'll be in November of 2018. So I spent a couple hours on it this morning. I'm kind of under some deadlines, crushing it to get it done. but I'm really super excited for it, and it's going to have a massive impact. It's a lot of the stuff that we have talked about on this call. I mean, I've probably read out some of the sections almost word for word because I've talked about them so much.
Yeah.
But it really is about, it's about overcoming entrepreneurial anxiety. It's about having the values and vision. It's about overcoming comparison syndrome. I mean, that there's an entire section on that in there that I actually just wrote about today. Yeah. And just making sure that your actions and your goals are aligned. So I mean, anybody who's sitting there just over, and again, it's not just for panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Mm. It's just for people who feel like, oh my goodness, I'm capable of so much more, but I'm kind of stuck spinning my wheels.
Yeah, I think that's important that you said as well. It's not like it's just an anxiety self-help book. It's more for directed at entrepreneurs to be more efficient, more productive, and be higher performers. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
There's probably a lot of coaches that maybe they would like to be higher performers. They'd like to be more productive, and maybe they're working too much on the floor in a commercial gym, and they want to make that change to online coaching because they know that maybe they could make the most of their hours. What tips would you give to someone who is making that change?
Well, it's very similar to the change that I made. So in 2003 to 2005, I was a full-time trainer trying to build an online business, and I was selling downloadable programs. So, I mean, that's probably the only difference in between what people do now. They do the high-end coaching where I was selling downloadable programs. Now, what I found was when I was able to get an entire afternoon away from clients, and, you know, it just happened that a few of them moved out of town, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to take a leap of faith here and bet on myself, and I'm not going to replace those Thursday afternoon clients. So I was done at 11, and I could go home and work for 3-4 hours in a row. That was a game changer, because up until that time, I was doing 20 minutes in the morning. I was doing 5 or 10 minutes in between clients, and I was working standing up on the subway in Toronto on the ride home with, you know, packed in like sardines. And I was still finding a way to, like, I was writing on my BlackBerry that I had at the time, you know, writing articles and programs to sell on the internet. Now, I was working in what's called the slivers of time, and you have to do that. But when you can open up a block of time, when you can say, hey, you know what, Mrs. Jones, you know, I love training you, but I'm gonna pass you on to another trainer who's going to take great care of you. And you open up a couple of sessions where you don't fill them up, and now you have Thursday afternoon from 1 till 4. It's going to be a game changer. And then the next thing, I got Tuesday morning. And what I realized was I was even more productive in the morning. So then I got Thursday morning. Then I got Tuesday afternoon. Now I had 2 full days. And then I got rid of all the afternoons. And then, you know, I finally cut down and down and down and down. I was what's called a chicken entrepreneur. I didn't just go and quit overnight, but I, you know, replaced my training income with my online income. And if you're doing online coaching, you can do that faster than ever, especially if, you know, I've gotten a course on selling through Instagram, and it works so well to get clients. And so many coaches are making a couple hundred bucks the next day using it. Because they get 1 or 2 clients using the system. And so that's the great thing, is you can really generate a lot of revenue fast with online coaching. It's not like online products and courses where you have to build an email list and do all this stuff. No, if you have a few hundred followers on Instagram and social media, you can probably be making a couple thousand dollars or a couple thousand pounds in just a few months. And it's really, really great. So just open up some time and make that transition, and free yourself up and bet on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to that self-esteem, betting on yourself, but also working out when you're like most productive. There's no point opening up time if you're, you know, not productive in the evenings, for example, if that's going to be not beneficial for you.
I remember being a trainer and going home and trying to work at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and it felt like people were sticking needles in my eyes because I was so tired from being up at 4:30 in the morning. And I realized, you know, I could not do anything. And that's why I had to open up that afternoon. So that's a really great point.
I think so, because I think people don't realize when you are a coach or a personal trainer exactly what it takes with the hours and what it takes away from your sleep. And I think it's something that people don't talk about because it's not very glamorous to talk about, oh, well, I got up at 4:30 and then I was training people for this amount of hours. It's just not, it's not cool. You want to talk about training celebrities and that kind of thing, which we know.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I was getting up at 4:30, I could have slept until 5:15, but I got up at 4:30, and I like to say that, you know, 30 minutes at a time over 18 months, I set myself free. from being a full-time personal trainer. Again, not very glamorous, but it's the absolute truth. And, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't do that, you know, make that sacrifice.
Yeah. Nothing truly beats hard work, as cheesy as it sounds. It's what makes it happen. So, I mean, like, rounding things up, I mean, I always ask people to give 3 mindset tips for the listeners to finish up on. So I'm gonna leave you with that. Just 3 mindset tips for people to take action on today, for example.
Okay, so the first one is know what matters. You know, we talked about that a lot, you know, having a true vision for your life, knowing your values. You have to know what matters. The second thing is then the strength to say no. The strength to say no. So when recently, you know, a couple years back, I was traveling too much and I was speaking at all these events and I was getting paid like, you know, $2,500 to speak. And it was cool. I'd meet some interesting people, but it really interfered with my personal goals, relationship goals. And so I decided that I would set a rule that I would only travel if it was worth $25,000 to my business. And it was tough to say no. But when I developed the strength to say no, then all of a sudden I was like, yes, I said no. And I said no to something that didn't matter, so I said yes to something that did. So know what matters, say no, and then most importantly, never ever give up on what is important to you. So first of all, you have to know what is important to you, but once you do, don't give up on it. Whether it's, you know, doing a fitness competition, or whether it's growing your personal training business, or whether it's, you know, reconciling a relationship with somebody, don't give up. Don't give up if it is truly important to you. On the other hand, give up if it is not important to you. You know, if binge drinking on the weekends is not really that important to you, give it up, because I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have taken that advice when I was 25 years old and realized I should be focusing on what matters instead of, you know, running around and being silly. So when you have those 3 things in place, Kate, you can move mountains.
Thank you so, so much for that, Greg. So, I mean, you've given so much for people to go away with and for them to actually take action on, and I hope they do. If they'd like to follow more of your helpful content, where can people find you?
I am all over the Instagrams at Real Craig Ballantyne. So, you know, hit me up there. I respond to all my direct messages. I love hearing from people. It's my favorite social media. So Real Craig Ballantyne on Instagram. Or, you know what, just send me an email at craig@godfather.com if you want to know anything more about my book, The Perfect Day Formula, which is available at freeperfectdaybook.com, or if you want to know more about my upcoming book, Unstoppable.
Amazing. So thank you so much, Craig, for joining me on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed today, make sure you share, make sure you rate, make sure you subscribe, and thank you very much for listening.